welcome to In-Game Chat for Saturday, July 27th, 2019. It is Season 13, Episode 27. I'm Scott.
I'm RJ.
And I'm Matt.
And there we go. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. 334-272-9228. Check out ingamechat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can also find us on Facebook at that same location. You know, I'm thinking, let me do it again. I don't know how many years I've been doing that, but I'm thinking I can do it with the music in the background rather than having to drop the music.
Don't know.
We'll see. I'm going to test it with that one, if I remember to test it. You can email us, everyone, at ingamechat.net. You can go to Twitch and watch us on, well, you can watch us on Twitch. Go to twitch.tv. In the search bar, type in In-Game Chat. You'll find us. Go to our website. Click on the link. That's the easiest thing to do to in order to watch us and enjoy us. I'm doing the whole show here, and the reason I'm not in the Twitch chat yet is because I'm doing it all from my phone.
Okay.
Computer's in the middle of doing an update. Updating the operating system.
Hmm. Oh, joy.
Yeah, I know. Says it has about 12 minutes remaining, but I think that's a lie.
That'd be 45.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot longer than that. I started it an hour ago, and it said, nah, 30 minutes. And then it stayed on like 25 minutes for about 15.
You said 5 minutes left 30 minutes ago. Come on now.
Yeah, right. Think about it. Right now, mark it. 4:08, it says 12 minutes to go. So we'll see what happens.
All right. Place your bets.
Yeah. It's also going to do some restarting, and I have no idea if it's going to remain, keep the volume muted as I left it, or if because it's doing an update on the OS,
it's
just going to go all back to default and be a nice little ba-da, or whatever Macs make when they turn on. I don't know anymore. So, welcome to our little show, our little program. Even when you replay the interview of an astronaut, a man that walked on the moon, you have nothing to follow that with. As far as what we were going to do today, so I don't know. Find out what we played. You got a new computer, didn't you, Matt?
I got a new computer.
Is it all hooked up? It's all ready to go.
It's all hooked up.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I mean, that's what you needed much to do.
As far as ready to go, it's a process of getting back to where I was because you know reinstalling programs and everything. So, but
hoping they work with the system and everything.
Oh yeah. So far. So far everything's been working. I got the Oculus hooked up.
Still in a small area, not a full room
VR
situation? Okay.
Although I think maybe next week or so I might like bring it out into the living room and set it up.
Mm-hmm. You know, now, is this a computer you can bust up into and change things out if you want to?
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea. I've never bought a pre-built computer before.
The cable management's really nice. It's, you know, everything's kind of tucked away.
That's nice.
But, I think I should be able to.
Yeah, it's been a long time since I had to deal with a pre-built computer, but one of the things that always bugged me to maybe start building my own was having enough space to work with and taking my own, own parts in and out.
So much space in it, because one of the things I did was, like, some of my hard drives that I took out of the other one, you know, like, just storage drives, mm-hmm. I went ahead and, you know, plugged in the SATA cables and just tucked them into it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
What have you played on it so far?
I loaded up Witcher 3. Did find out that it had some cloud saves on there, so from years ago. So I was able to just check that out and like, okay, that works. I loaded up my Oculus and just to make sure the VR was working, I did the Apollo 11 VR thing that NASA did.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so, you know, looked around the moon and everything with that. Mm. Force Awakens 2, just to make sure that, because I know that game gave me issues on my old computer.
Yeah. Last time you played it, gave you
you said
it stuttered a lot, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
To the point where it wasn't, you know, playable. So I'm like, let me just check it out to make sure that, and it was running fine. I need to get into Elite to do my binders, my binding settings. You know, for my joystick.
Mm-hmm.
But really, that's kind of all I've done.
Hmm. Okay.
So, I haven't had a chance to do much.
RJ, what have you messed around with? What have you played?
I did a little more grinding in Grand Theft Auto Online. Still trying to work my way up to get enough money to build, buy a penthouse for the new casino.
DLC. Oh, yeah, the casino thing that I'm so interested in.
Yeah, they try to earn the money for that and start building up there. Played a little bit of a Pac-Man Championship Edition 2. I was trying to see if see if I could beat some of my old scores on there and pick up, because they've dropped since the last time I played it. So I was trying to do it again. I played a little bit of a Samurai Showdown. Trying to get some. I haven't been going online too much because I'm trying to get some good matchup knowledge when I play that game. One of the keys of success in fighting games is knowing what to do against what opponent with the character that you main as. So I just need to get some time to learn what I can do against which character. So that's going to be a little while. Then I played the other free game that was available on PlayStation Plus, the Horizon Chase Turbo. Little racing game, little time waster, simple, not too detailed, just a simple arcade racer, and it's had a pretty good time with that. Went through the entire one of the entire regions and got working my way up, getting gold and max trophies and all that, seeing if I can get all of them like that throughout for that area and try to go on to the next one and see what I can do there. That's pretty much what I've played this week.
Yeah, I played a diverse number of games this week.
Okay.
All of them called Destiny 2. I played Gambit, and I played PvP, and I did some raids. I played so many different games inside of Destiny 2.
That was a good setup. Yeah.
Well, the best part about this is that I don't have, because the computer's updating and everything else, I really don't have Twitch chat in front of me, so I can't hear, I can't read Lethal Migraine chastising me for playing Destiny 2. In fact, I can't read anybody either praising me for it either, but then again, nobody does, and I can't see who's in the chat room. I don't know. It'll be, according to this, 12 more minutes before I can actually do that.
Well, I'll do it for you. Let's see. Scott hates video games. There you go.
That's, yeah, there it is. Scott hates video games.
That's Lethal Migraines.
I do have it on over to the side of me here. So, but So in Destiny 2, and I really haven't kind of talked too much about it because, I mean, you know, that's all I play. And I've actually gotten over the fact that it is kind of all that I put in time with now. But I also feel like if there was nothing for me to chase in the game, I would not be playing it. I would be finding something else. But right now, that just jumped 7 minutes.
Wait, like 7 minutes less?
Yeah, it's like, yeah, now you got 7 minutes remaining.
Well, see, there you go.
Yeah, look at that.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, it's 6 minutes till the target time we thought.
Yeah, well, there, and the little progress bar did a nice big chunk, so that was nice. Destiny 2. Like I said, if there wasn't anything for me to chase, I probably would not be doing it. And every now and again, especially near year's end, right before a big update comes out, the new content for the year, just like before Forsaken came out, they had the Solstice of Heroes event, which was some gear. You'd collect this gear, go do things associated with each piece of gear, and it would upgrade to a better piece of gear.
Yeah.
That would also have objectives, tied to that piece of gear to do while wearing it, and then you get a better piece until you get the piece de la resistance, whatever.
Something French.
Yeah. Oui, oui.
Wasn't it like three different sets of tasks you had to perform?
Oh, it was
like
a lot.
Three on the first upgrade, and then three on the second upgrade, and then three on the last upgrade to get the Uber piece?
It got bigger, I think. On the last one, I think there was like four things you had to do on
okay, four tasks.
It depends. Okay. I take that back. I think you're actually right, because each gear had three different things.
Yeah.
Like the helmet that you wore maybe said, you know, run a strike, we're doing this. Yeah. And then like the arms said, okay, do crucible or something like that.
Yeah, there was all these different things.
Yeah,
I tried that earlier, but then it got to the part where it said run a raid or strike, and I said, well, that's it. I'm not going to get a strike or raid. They want experience, and I ain't got no experience in doing that stuff, so no, they won't.
I'm hoping with cross save we can get this done for you.
I haven't done the first one. What was that one? The
Leviathan?
Yeah, that was it.
Yeah,
never did that one.
No, hopefully we can get you through this. So anyway, like I said, and so that's about to kick off Tuesday. Tuesday will kick off that gear quest again, and that's something for me to chase. In the meantime, ever since about 2 or 3 weeks ago, I guess, they opened up the Tribute Hall. Mm. And the Tribute Hall is on the big Leviathan ship, and it's something where if you do all these objectives while wearing this certain gear, you get a tribute piece. You go and put it in your hall. You know, there's a big one for Shax for doing Crucible stuff, and for Gambit for doing that stuff, and there's a big giant Sparrow for getting a Sparrow tribute, a ship tribute, all this other stuff. And you're just adorning this place with all these trophies, these sort of things. And there's 50 of them that you can place.
50 different pieces, okay.
Yeah, it's like 50 different pieces.
Jeez.
And so...
How far along are you?
I'm at 48.
Okay, so what's missing?
What's missing right now is doing Gambit matches while wearing this gear. Mm-hmm. And... moving.
Are you still building up that?
I'm at 98%.
Okay.
One match, and I'll I debated on doing that match today before I got here, but I said no. Wait.
No. Chances are luck. That match would have ran long, and you had to cut. You had to cut off midway.
Who knows?
Midway.
Yeah. And then I've got a raid that I have to do. One of the different raids. One of the newer raids I have to do while wearing a certain amount of gear. Once I've done both of those, I've finished that. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Solstice of Heroes event, which is another icon of things to do. I've done all of them except for finish the raid that I have to do wearing the other gear, right? Mm-hmm. So the Moments of Triumph stuff is directly related to the new season. So gear that you earn in the Menagerie, which is a new event that you can take, gear that you earn there, you wear that to do the Moments of Triumph. Or the tribute hall, the tribute.
Oh, okay.
Because you're tributing Kallus, the big the big guy that drives the Leviathan sort of thing.
Oh, the captain.
Yeah, that guy, big guy.
Yeah.
So if you wear his gear while doing these things, you're paying tribute to him. Hmm. So that is the tribute hall. The Solstice thing is just what they do. Okay, now it's restarting. The Solstice thing is just what they do. Sort of at the end of the year to say, hey, have you done all these different things that have been around for a year for you to do?
Yeah, a reminder,
yeah. Yeah, why don't you go do those? And so the only thing I lack there is to run that one raid that I was telling you about. So I plan on finishing that up this weekend. In fact, I plan after I get done here, sometime tonight, playing that one Gambit match and then finding a group to run that raid with and then knock it out,
yeah.
Just in time for the gear quest to kick off on Tuesday so I can focus on it. Mm-hmm. What else did I find out this weekend? I have to look at my clock here because I don't have a clock on my phone. Or not, I do, but not what I'm used to looking at here on the screen. Mm-hmm. So, ran a raid. That was cool. Did more Gambit stuff. Been doing just a bunch of stuff. Saturday night, I kind of got, what's the word? Maybe brave is a word for it? I don't know. I got a little experimental with Destiny.
All right.
And I had heard about this thing that you could do. It is cheesing the game.
Okay.
For those who are not aware, and RJ might be, and Matt may be as well. There are two versions of player versus player. There's two versions of this game where you can play other people. Mm-hmm. There's the quick play, which doesn't matter what your light level is, doesn't matter what guns you bring. Everybody's dealing the same damage. Just how much more can you shoot this guy than he can shoot you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you win, congrats. If you lose, no big deal. If you win, congrats. Here's a large cookie. If you lose, well, congrats. Here's a smaller cookie. You know, you still get stuff. Mm-hmm. Then there's the competitive playlist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Competitive playlist still is the same as the other one. You got to be faster at shooting the other guy. Doesn't matter your gear you're wearing as far as like levels and stuff like that. If he's a 750 Warlock and you're a 600 Hunter, Doesn't matter. There's still no level advantages. What does matter are winning. It's 4v4 rather than 6v6.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
The other playlist is 6v6. This competitive playlist is only 4v4. There is the Clash, which is basically just team kills.
Yeah.
There's Control, which is King of the Mountain, the 3 points stuff.
Hate that one.
Then there's two other versions of it. There is Survival, which is once you get shot, you're dead until somebody can... Each team has a certain amount of lives.
You got a limit on how many lives you've got. Yeah.
Each team has 5 lives. Once those are out, whoever's left standing wins.
It could be one person dying or one person dying 5 times.
Right, exactly.
Your team has 5 lives total, regardless of who dies.
Then there's Countdown, which is basically everybody has, you start the game either defending a position or charging a position.
Mm-hmm.
You have to set a bomb or defend a bomb from being set.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's a 4v4 thing. So there are different matches there. The big difference in competitive is that if you win, good, here is your cookie.
Mm-hmm.
If you lose, then not only do you not get the cookie, but any other cookies you have won, we are taking back. In other words, you lose progress.
It
is a penalty to losing. So there is a way.
I bet chat gets real interesting during those matches, too.
What does?
Chat.
No, oddly enough, nobody chats.
I'm too busy trying not to die.
First off, if you try to find a room where people are playing and you can chat with them, that's fine, but I never set foot in there because those are some tryhards that I don't want to deal with because that's not me. I'm not a tryhard.
Well, I get that, but I'm thinking along the lines of communication would be key.
It's like you and I when we did Trials.
Yeah.
That one time on PS4.
Mm-hmm.
We just want to communicate. Got to communicate with each other. Just got to talk and talk and talk. A lot of people queue up for this thing solo, which I've done a lot, trying to work my way to what I needed to get a really cool gun.
Mm-hmm.
However, there is a way on PC for you to bypass all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to say, let's dip my toe in the water and see how this goes. It worked amazingly well. It worked wonders. I'm not going to try to explain it to you because it's very difficult to explain. Essentially, what you do is, number one, you sign out of the American servers, and you sign into the Asian servers.
Oh, really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Certain times of day are better than other certain times of day, but you sign into the Asian servers. You get a group of 8 people.
No more, no less.
Well, you can't. Yeah, you got to have 8 people.
Got to have exactly 8 people.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a website you can go to where you will plug in everybody's username. And it gives their ranking as far as how much they've earned playing competitive currently.
Mm.
And then it'll say, in order for you guys to be matched up closer, these 4 people need to play together and these 4 people need to play together. So then you split up and make those teams.
Okay.
Then you sit in the lobby and somebody, there's a what's called a driver on the other team and a driver on your team.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the only 2 people to communicate. They're the only ones to talk to each other. They'll give the countdown, 3, 2, 1, go. At go, everybody hits the button to launch the activity. Once they do that, everybody starts watching the counter as to how it's pairing up with who it's pairing up with.
Mm-hmm.
There's certain numbers that show up, certain things that you need to look for, that if I have this and you have this, then we're good. But if I have this and you don't, then we got to back out of this. Otherwise, we're going to match up with... not us. Mm. What you're trying to do is match up together. And there's a certain way from looking at the counter, finding people, to know if you're matched up with each other. And depending on how that plays out, at a certain point, once you guys realize that, okay, this is us, somebody backs out of that countdown real quick, you get loaded into an empty team, and you automatically get the win.
Mm. And all the benefits that come with it.
And all the benefits that come with it. Every single benefit that comes with it. You don't play a single bit of Destiny.
So, how long does it take to get that between starting up the room and winning the match? Doesn't take long at all.
Once you get it going, it's not hard at all.
I mean, from like 5 minutes before you setting up the room and game starts and it's empty and automatically wins.
I mean, obviously, you got to get everything, you know, everybody's got to join up on everything else, and then you guys, you know, it's, but from the time you hit launch to actually getting the win,
yeah,
it takes less than 5 minutes, maybe 3 minutes.
Yeah, so I'm about to say,
if you get a good rhythm going,
yeah,
man,
get a good rhythm
fast,
going, you can get wins back to back to back to back, and you can get progress in no time.
Sometimes it's lopsided where a certain team will always be the one that flies into the match and gets the points.
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. The team that backs out doesn't get a penalty.
Mm. Right.
They don't get any penalty against backing out of that.
Yeah.
Now, if it had already matched us together and they backed out, they would get a penalty for it.
Because you never started the official match, then there's no penalty on
that. And there were a few times we did get loaded in with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, oh, well, what do we do now? Well, you tie the game.
Mm-hmm.
If you tie, nobody gets the win, but you don't get a penalty for a loss.
Yeah. Okay.
Break even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you just keep doing that. And we did this Saturday night. I was up really, really late doing this, just back and forth. And then Sunday, I was working on some other stuff, and Random popped on. Which I don't guess he's in the chat room right now, but he popped on, and I said, oh, I've been cheesing this thing, man. You want to get in on this? He's like, yeah, sure. Why not?
Yeah.
So we got a few people together. He got a buddy of his who lives, I don't know, like 10 miles away.
No.
Oh, good connection.
Which was fantastic because he was on one team and his buddy was on another team.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they were so close, it almost every time paired them together.
Right.
And it was also really good in that sometimes we would get in, sometimes they would get in, sometimes we would. So it was nice back and forth.
A few hours. Not just one-sided.
Yeah. A few hours, and I had the gun I needed.
Yeah, it's like a...
It's amazing. And I'm going to do some more of it this weekend.
Yeah, as long as they keep...
What other gear do you
need?
There's a submachine gun called the Recluse.
Okay.
That is only available if you get into the Fabled rank of that particular competitive play.
Mm-hmm.
It's nothing I would ever try and grind out. I think it would take forever, and I'm not that good at it.
But if you could cheese it, then...
But if I cheese it, and there's other people cheesing it. And oddly enough, when because Iron Banner's going up right now, I've been in lobbies with everybody. It's like, oh, so many recluses. I was like, I don't think it... I would say something like, don't let it fool you and think that I'm any good because I got that gun. And there were plenty of people who were like, yeah, I didn't...
Yeah, took a shortcut.
I didn't do that either.
but the gut thing. It's like all the online games got something you can cheese, you know, until the developers and programmers patch it out. Like GTA Online has the, I think one of the most popular ones is the Bogdan problem. It's one of the parts of a heist. You can do it over and over and over again. I think you get like a little over $500,000 per run.
But if you do it over and over,
lather, rinse, repeat, do it over and over again, you can get money, hand over fist in that. And I don't think they've done anything about that yet. But so I can see that happening with Destiny. I hope they don't retroactively mess up everyone's account and do something about that. But,
this has been in the game since the beginning. It's been in there since launch because a lot of people were cheesing it for Trials whenever Trials was around in Destiny 2.
Yeah.
So it has been in the game since launch. They are not. They don't take action against it. Because each team is cheesing, we're not really hurting anybody else's game. This is not a gun that makes you overpowered.
Yeah.
No.
It's a very good gun.
But it's not super god.
But if you're still not good with it, it's not going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can have the best gun in the world, you can't hit your target. What's the point?
And oddly enough, playing Iron Banner again, there was plenty of people running around with it. It's odd. It's kind of like...
Oh, it makes it even then.
It's a lot like when I bought my car. I really love that car. And as soon as I bought it, I just started seeing it everywhere.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
As soon as I got the gun, I just started seeing it way more often than I remember.
Yeah. What's the special benefit of this gun?
It's a submachine gun that is like just steady aim, you know?
No recoil?
Very little recoil.
How's the range on it?
Range is not good.
Mm, okay.
But it's a submachine gun, right? Submachine gun ranges aren't good.
I'm not familiar with submachine guns.
Actually, maybe I'm thinking... No. I'm thinking impact. The impact is not good on it.
Impact's
I don't know. I'd
good.
Have to look. Okay, yeah. You can look it up. You can look it up, the Recluse, and see what it does.
Yeah, I don't use the submachine guns much. I mean, I got plenty of those legendary... epic, the gold ones. Gold level.
Exotics?
Exotic, thank you. Yeah, exotics. Yeah. But I don't hardly use them. I think I got that one, the Risk Runner, the electrical one.
Yeah.
I got that one. I hardly ever use the thing.
You got the Huckleberry?
No, I don't. At least I don't think I do. It's been a while since I played the game. Like I said, my focus is mainly scout rifles. Mm-hmm. That's my bread and butter. That's the ones I go with all the time.
What was the Huckleberry?
It's a submachine gun in the main gun slot, in the kinetic slot, which is where your regular, not the one that has, it doesn't have any elemental aspects to it.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, oh God, I can't remember what it is, but if you get kills with it, it reloads itself.
Hmm.
Or precision hits reloads
precision
the
hits.
Reloads it. Okay. So you can just sit there and
zap,
go.
Okay.
Now, the difference in that and Bad Juju is Bad Juju is a pulse rifle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And just a kill will replenish the magazine. Doesn't have to be a precision hit, just a kill. So I've been tearing through Gambit with that a lot. Because as they come out, I shoot them. And every kill you get with it gives you what's called a string of curses or something like that. I can't remember what it's called. But which not only replenishes your magazine, but also makes what you kill next easier and gives you super energy.
Hmm.
And then when you do that, it stacks 5 times.
Okay.
So you can get a good run going.
Hmm.
We are at 11 minutes now on installation after what I thought was a restart.
Yeah,
speaking
so,
of.
So it's 12 minutes over then, didn't it?
Yeah, speaking of a restart, I'm going to shut up about Destiny 2.
For now.
People can tell Lethal Migraine to come back into the room if he's left or unmute us. If that's the case. Again, I can't. It's over there, but yeah. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat. You're going to get a lot of 8-bit. In fact, I think probably all of it is 8-bit music today.
All right, cool. Mega Man.
No, not Mega Man, oddly enough. I'm going by composers here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
And I went and I looked, and honestly, the name, why I've never considered this or even thought of it or anything like that, I have no idea, but I typed in video game composers, his is the first name that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't recognize it, so I was like, yeah, sure, let's see what his repertoire is. Let's see what he's got. And I clicked on it, and I was like, oh, it's this guy. I didn't know who this guy was. Koji Kondo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, it was the first time. First time I'd ever heard of him.
Yeah.
I never knew it.
To be honest, did we think a lot about composers back in the 8-bit days?
No, I don't think we did.
Not really. I mean,
but then again, he's still working.
Yeah, he's still working. Yeah, but that we didn't think a lot about composers back then. But nowadays, you know, you can recognize the names of a lot of these prominent composers.
And I really felt bad about the fact that I didn't recognize his name, and that I never took the time to look up, hey, who did the music for this game and this game? Basically, all the games I ever played on a Nintendo.
Back in the 8-bit days, we also didn't really think about directors either.
That's true.
Who developed the games and did the record? Yeah, no, we didn't.
We never did.
We didn't.
Just
so,
was the game fun or not?
We're gonna play. We're gonna play tracks from Koji Kondo's career, and I've tried not to get. Oh, it's
super
Mario,
famous, yeah.
Or it's Zelda. Even though I did pull some Mario and Zelda, just not from the usual games. So, we start with the first game he ever composed, which was for Punch-Out.
Hmm.
So we got that, and when we come back, we'll have more of in-game chat right after this. We'll be right back. Anybody want to guess on that one?
I'm drawing a blank. I was trying to figure out what it was. But I'm
ice climbers?
No, not ice climbers. I wouldn't.
It ain't Tapper, is it?
I don't blame you for that. It's not Tapper. It is soccer.
Soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Just soccer.
Soccer. That's it, you know. Well, that was the name of a lot of Nintendo games when it went to sports.
Yeah.
It was golf.
Sport ball.
Soccer. Tennis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Baseball. They didn't, like, flare it up, you know?
Then Mario got involved.
Yeah, they didn't make it flashy or anything. It's this. Here's the sport. So, yeah, that one's for soccer.
Oh, my God. I remember the ice hockey game.
Yeah, ice hockey was the other one.
NES.
Ugh. At least they said ice hockey.
I remember you could fight in that game.
Hmm.
I think I can get into my computer now.
Yeah, I remember a time when they tried to cut down the amount of fights you got in hockey.
Yeah. How'd that work out?
It didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
It didn't at all.
What's the status on the computer?
I typed in my login and pressed the button, and nothing's happening. Can still move the mouse, so it's not locked that I know of, but we'll see. Oh, there we go. Sign in with your ID and all this crap. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Sign in, restart in 15 minutes.
Exactly. So, anyway, let's go to Chris. Let's talk to Chris. He's on the phone. Hey, Chris.
Hey, Chris.
What's going on?
Not much. What's going on with you?
Not just same old, playing and leveling up my characters and stuff in one of the games.
What you got this week?
What game?
I'm playing the Trials of Mana as part of that collection of Mana, the one that they never translated until 20 years ago that a lot of the fans have been waiting on.
Okay.
Okay.
But and also, I was just curious, what was Emily's reaction on Thursday morning when I called in about that?
What?
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm talking to Scott there. That random fact that he had about the space, and then I called in about 7:45 Thursday morning.
Oh, that? Yeah, no. I don't know. I don't remember.
You don't remember, huh?
I don't remember. I just know that, you know, the topic of the conversation was, you know, it went into a different direction. So, yeah.
But yeah, I remember from the sound of, you know, how she was going on and everything. I think it really got to her. It hit her like a brick wall all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Well, it wasn't something we were expecting either. So. What else has been going on with you? Anything else?
Oh, not much. Just been taking it easy and playing different games, this and that.
Yeah, see, everybody playing different games. I'm stuck on the same one, which, again, I've come to terms with the fact that, you know, I'll get around to playing other games when I feel like it. But
I've been, you know, playing Elite for a while.
We've all said that.
Yeah, yeah, you're getting your jams.
The backlog gets bigger and bigger as the weeks go by.
Well, Chris, we appreciate you calling, as always, man.
All right, well, y'all have a good one.
You too.
Take care now.
Bye.
In fact, I started working on another Discord account, or at least a Discord server.
Okay.
Hmm. I know that the one that we have, first off, is very well locked down as far as getting into it. And I'm totally okay with that. Would not ask for that to ever change. The problem is, apparently, we're getting more people playing with our clan. And
they need a place to go?
Well, the fact that I've been in... some of these randoms that I picked up have moved us out of the LFG server on Discord into their own clan server because we needed to. So it's like, oh, hey, let's switch over here. Things are sounding really wonky over here. Let's move to a different server. And so I've seen what other clan servers look like.
Yeah.
They got that stuff locked down, man. And I don't mean locked down as in, like, you can't get into it. I'm saying they've got an LFG section. They've got discussion sections. They've got channels to talk about other games and to play other games and that sort of thing. It's just a massive, it's a great little space where people who play that same game can come in and find other people to play with who are on the same clan and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But then again, this is a clan who has, like, I don't know, four different, you know, clan name, the fourth, the third, the second, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. Hmm. And you can have 100 members per clan. So if they're rocking, you know, 400 people, 500 people mm-hmm. In their clan. And so I don't ever expect us to get like that, but yeah. With the new, with Shadowkeep coming in next, in September,
okay.
The migration from Battle.net to Steam, the movement into free-to-play, I'm expecting us to get more and more. I'm also going to go through our clan and I'm going to weed out a lot of people who don't play anymore. And I'm not saying that they don't play anymore or that, because I know you don't play as much, but I'm not getting rid of you. Mm. I'm not kicking you out of the clan. Mm. But there's a lot of people, like, early on, we just kind of spammed it, you know. We're like, ooh, this person's not in a clan. Invite them. Let's get more people.
Yeah.
And that was great because people were playing at the time, but a lot of people dropped off.
Yeah.
And some of them may be coming back. Some of them may not be coming back. But I'm going to do a good house cleaning mm-hmm. of our members and kind of weed that out and get it better. And plus, there will be a section in there for people to talk about the show or to come in who are friends of the show, that sort of thing, and can do whatever. We'll have servers set up for Elite Dangerous, for Division 2, for what else to have in there? There was another one, not Hitman. Oh, Final Fantasy 14, Destiny, just, you know, pretty much anything, and we can do our own that way. There'll be bots set up who constantly update whenever Destiny has updated to let you know, here's the flashpoint, here's the different stuff this week. And then there'll be another one set up that does the daily changes as well to tell you, okay, here's what's going on today, what they've updated with. Mm-hmm. There'll be sections where you can go and look at an infographic to tell you how to run a raid or to do a new exotic quest that they've given you. Mm-hmm. You know, here's what you need to do. Here's the steps to take. And hopefully with enough people, both console and PC, this will work out. So we don't know. I'm looking to go into that direction with it. So. My computer's still setting up, so let me go to my phone. Do I need another verification? I don't need another verification code. It's still setting up the account. I'm looking for... There it is. What do we have go on this week? I know Nintendo has changed their tune on their little Joy-Con issue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which I never noticed with mine. But then again, I don't play it a lot, and if I do, I rarely use the Joy-Con controllers. Mm-hmm. I use the Pro controller, which is just, you know, a regular controller.
I don't think the Joy-Con didn't, like, fit too comfortably in your hand anyway, did it?
They were kind of small.
Yeah. I don't like those.
You pretty much got big hands here, and yeah, I don't think it
fit very. I don't like those things. Yeah. They're really neat, and for some game mechanics, I'm sure they work very well.
Yeah.
And better than a actual controller would.
Mm-hmm.
But... I don't use them. Yeah. However, there were plenty of reports that the motion controls with those had a drifting problem. One of the Joy-Cons, while you would hold it still, the representation of it on the screen would be
drifting
off the screen.
Was it bad or just like...
I don't know. I think some people probably had it worse than others, but that it was there. And enough people reported it, and they would send it in to get it fixed, and they would pay for it to get it fixed... But enough people came forward that somebody was starting to pursue a class action lawsuit against Nintendo for it. Hmm. Nintendo said, let's not do this. Look, we'll repair them for free, and we'll refund anybody who got a repair. Hmm. Which is basically what it came down to. Hmm. So if you have gotten a repair that you paid for, as long as it was through Nintendo and not a third party, then you can get a refund.
Get a refund.
And if you do have issues... from any that you buy in the future, you can send them in to get them repaired absolutely free. Hmm. I haven't noticed anything with mine. Again, I haven't played much of mine. In fact, mine's in my bag over there on the desk.
Hmm.
I've got to update it for the trip to Seattle coming up later in August. Hmm. So, yeah, but they decided to change that, which is good. I'm glad they did. I hate that it was in there to begin with.
Yeah.
And I hate that it took a class action lawsuit to say, oh, maybe we should fix these. Nah, you should have been doing that from the beginning. Yeah. Or, you know, should have recognized that, oh, there is an issue here. Let's start manufacturing these without this problem.
Yeah, stuff like that would be, I would think, would be immediate.
Yeah.
Immediately noticeable, yeah. Analog drifting or anything like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Skip that. All right, I'm skipping this thing so that hopefully it'll continue to... move on. There it goes. That's going to take a lot longer than I thought. This is ridiculous. Picked a fine day to do this, moron. Studio closed up over the week.
Which one?
I'm not exactly sure which studio it was. Defiant. Defiant Development announced the studio is closing and production of all future titles will cease. The games market has changed in ways both big and small. In the 9 years we've been in business, we've not been able to change quickly enough to continue with them. Studios rise, studios fall, but people are always more important. To the people of Defiant, staff, friends, families, and partners, thank you. May your future shine bright, and may you change the world for the better. If you're not familiar with who Defiant is and the games that they made, they showed off a trailer for a game they were working on that probably will never get made. The reason that this struck me was the fact that these are the developers who made the game Hand of Fate. Okay. I don't know if you played Hand of Fate.
No.
Hand of Fate was kind of a neat little game. You'd probably recognize it. I want to say it's been free on Xbox Live Gold, and I don't know about PS Plus.
The name doesn't sound familiar to me on that one.
Anyway, it's a guy who deals out cards, and your cards are like, okay, you've got this armor, or you've got this sword, or, oh, here's a card that says draw two more cards, you know, and so you get these benefits and that sort of thing. And you'd make your way along this game board-like thing, each one being a card, and every time your character landed on that card, it'd flip over. And that would be like, you've run into three goblins, now let's kill them. And then the game would go into third-person mode, and you would fight the goblins there, and if you won, then you would move ahead and keep doing this and doing this and doing this. And then once you got to the end, you kept all your stuff and you started over, and it would get more difficult and more difficult, and you would go through it. It was so successful that they made a sequel, Hand of Fate 2, as well.
Handsier of Fate.
Yeah.
Boo.
I was going to say something else related to Hand Harder. Well, you know, the whole Die Hard thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah.
Hands with a vengeance.
Yeah. Oh look, I got into my computer.
What?
This is the best. Finally. Wonderful. Whenever we this next break, I'll spend the next break getting everything set up so that I can see Twitch chat, so I can see all of our stuff here. I'm sorry that I did this. I thought it would be done before the show when I set it all up and got it ready. Anything else? Did you guys see anything else for... I know the other one. We'll probably talk about that when we come back.
Okay.
MechWarrior 5?
Yes, got pushed.
And also is an Epic Game Store exclusive.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have
we
VR.
Didn't, did we know this before now?
I didn't. And I'll have VR support.
Oh, it will. Look at
That's
you.
That's what Kevin was telling me.
You're good.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You clean up your drool there.
I know.
Oh, QuakeCon's going on, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why there's been, like, sales for Bethesda stuff.
Yeah.
So, did you know Bethesda has its own game launcher?
Bethesda has its own game launcher? No.
Guess how I found out.
Why?
That's how my... I got a free copy of Youngblood.
Right!
Okay.
With my new computer. I'm like, oh, okay, is this going to go through Steam? Is this going to get... Nope, go through Bethesda's game launcher.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. I didn't know they had one.
Neither did I.
When did they get one?
Apparently recently, because I had to download it, and now I got Youngblood in it. And
you didn't have any account associated with it, right?
Well, I had my Bethesda account, from Doom, the Slayer's account, because
is that what worked or no?
Yeah, that password worked. So my Doom Slayer's account logged me into the Bethesda, my Bethesda account, and that's what this game launcher and. I guess Fallout 76 uses it? Really?
Interesting.
But yeah, I'm not a fan of the interface.
Well, what happened? What's wrong with the
interface for the login?
Yeah, well, just the launcher. Just the way it sets it up and everything. Like on the left panel, left column is just like the list of the games.
Wait a second. You got Youngblood for free from your card or whatever that you got. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a Steam code?
No.
It was a...
Bethesda account code for the Bethesda launcher.
Oh, man.
And also got Control, and Control was on Epic Game Store.
Huh.
So, yeah.
That's interesting that you get it for... Maybe it's not. Well, the fact that Bethesda now has a place where you can launch your games from, I did not know.
Yeah, me neither.
Obviously, when I got some Ubisoft games, it was through their launcher, which has been around for a while.
Yeah, Uplay's been around for a good while.
And it looks like a store, and it does all its things. And that
same
sort of
with
thing.
Origin.
Origin, Epic Game Store, that's okay, but yeah. I just, yeah.
Even God Galaxy's been around for, you know,
that's interesting that Bethesda has their own.
Bethesda, I think I'm looking into some stuff now. It says Bethesda was looking to introduce its own digital service from since mid-2016. They were planning at that point.
Sure.
So, wow. So they've been thinking about it for a while. They just implemented it.
Lethal Migrant said that with QuakeCon yesterday, they announced that the original Doom, three Doom games are coming to the consoles.
They are, and they're on Switch. And that was the other thing, was that you need a Bethesda account to play the original Doom on Nintendo Switch.
I know a launcher you could get.
Yeah. I don't ever remember signing up for a Bethesda account.
I did with Doom 2016.
Did you have to?
I don't think you had to, but like to get part of the Slayers Club and like
to get some free stuff, you did.
Yeah. And so that's why I did.
I'm pretty sure that I did not.
Yeah. So I thought that was interesting, you know.
Oh man, it's nice to have the laptop back. Let me tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are just about to hit the top of the hour here, and so I'm gonna straighten all this out with my laptop here and get everything set again. And we'll be back with some more in-game chat after this. We're featuring the music of Koji Kondo. Mm-hmm. Koji Kondo composed the music for Legend of Zelda, for Super Mario Brothers. I don't think Metroid was in there, but there is a massive, massive list of games that you have played that this man has done the music for. I only discovered that yesterday, so I was yesterday years old when I found out
that Koji Kondo
composed that music.
Yeah.
And I feel like a fraud.
Well, I mean, you know the music.
I don't know the music. It's
his work.
I know, but I also feel like I should also know the man's name, you know, of everything like that. As much as I go on and on and on about video game composers.
Yeah.
As many times as we've interviewed video game composers.
I understand.
As many times as we've done two-hour-long shows highlighting music from video games and likely using his stuff and never crediting him because why? I don't know. I just never bothered to look it up, so I feel bad about that. So, yeah, Koji Kondo is who we're highlighting today. This comes from another sports title. You can tell it's a sports title because the name of it is called Golf. We'll be back with more in-game chat after this. Back to in-game chat featuring the music of Koji Kondo today. A lot of it sounds the same.
Well, there's limited what you could do back then.
There was.
Yeah.
In fact, you thought this was pro wrestling.
It was pro wrestling.
It's not. It is a sports game.
Baseball?
Volleyball.
Volleyball.
We'll get into more of the obscure tracks coming up next.
Because volleyball's not obscure enough?
Right, exactly. That was the point. That's the joke. Welcome back here to In-Game Chat. I think I've got everything all set up here with... let me open up my show notes. I finally got back into the chat room. So I'm in there with everybody else. Everything else is running. I had to make sure that something I use for day-to-day work here at the radio station could actually work with this update, and thank God it does. It took it a while to initiate, but it does, and that's a good thing. Oh, you beautiful show notes, you. There we go. Corsair bought the Origin PC store, or whatever that is. Not, this is not EA's Origin, but this is Origin. Origin makes pre-built PCs. Where did you buy yours?
Newegg.
So Newegg had a pre-built store, I guess, that they do? Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that they did, but... what brand? I mean, is it a brand? What's the...
Yes.
What is it? Do you not know, or do you don't want to tell? I didn't know.
No, I don't remember. I'm trying to think.
The look on your face was either, I don't want to say, stop asking me these questions, or I don't know what it was.
I don't remember. Hold on, let me...
I was just curious. Yeah. I don't really need to know.
iBuyPower.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I've heard of them.
Yeah. No, I was just trying to remember what it was, that's all.
I have heard of them. So let's talk about MechWarrior 5.
Yes, let's, forever.
Because...
every episode we should talk about MechWarrior 5.
God knows I've talked enough about Destiny now. Let's talk about MechWarrior 5.
Yes.
It has been delayed. Originally, it was scheduled to come out September. Now it's moved back to December. It is also now an Epic Games Store exclusive.
Which I didn't know until, you know, you posted that and we're like, oh, okay. Whatever, I don't care. I just want to play it.
Wow. This is the first single-player MechWarrior game in 17 years.
Yeah.
No wonder you're excited
MechWarrior 4.
Well, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That goes back a ways.
Yes, it does. I think it was MechWarrior 4 Mercenaries. So this will be MechWarrior 5 Mercenaries. But like in the after that, you had... I mean, that was back in the days of Mech Assault 2 on the
Xbox. I didn't even realize they made a sequel to Mech Assault, but I played
Mech Assault. It wasn't worth...
Mech Assault wasn't worth it. But Mech Assault, however, holds a place.
I think it introduced people on a console to the ideas of
online play.
I was going to say the world of Battletech, but yeah, online play too.
No. It was a launch title for their Xbox Live service. And that was a big deal because if you didn't want to play football all day,
here's something else.
You had something else to play.
Yeah. But like I said, I think it introduced people who on the consoles, because like before that, Battletech and MechWarrior were in the domain of the PC. Mm-hmm. And before that, it was in the domain of tabletops. So I've been playing Battletech since like 86 or so with the tabletop game, you know. And then like once they got the computer game, like Battletech, like Crescent Hawk and, you know, stuff like that. And the original MechWarrior 1, then, you know, when they did the 3D effects graphics with MechWarrior 2 and stuff. Mine came with a Sidewinder joystick back in the day. Mm. You know, like, so like that was like the Battletech was more the strategy one. MechWarrior was like the single mech. You know, you're in it's a mech sim where you're not doing a lance of different mechs trying to like do the overall battle. You're just like focusing, like, I'm just one dude in my one mech just doing what I can. Mm-hmm. And then Mech Assault was the arcade version, basically, because you had power-ups that you could run over. You could do stuff like that. And so... It to me, like, yes, it 100% introduced people to the idea of online game on the console for the original Xbox. That, you know, before then, they didn't really have that. Now, it's so ingrained to everybody, I can't imagine, you know, like, before that time. Yeah. Everybody knows about online playing. But it also introduced, you know, the console people to that world of Battletech, of MechWarrior, of, you know, the Inner Sphere and the Sons of Kerensky with the clans, and like, you know, it introduced that to them. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, some fans will... I'm sorry.
I was trying to think about Steel Battalion.
Oh,
that
was
right. I think they came out around the time of MechWarrior 4, right?
Yeah, that was the original Xbox as well.
Yeah. 02.
Yeah.
And
02, 03 around 02, there?
Yeah. And that's still to this day, it boggles my mind how no one could use that controller for anything else other than that. Could
it didn't necessarily boggle my mind. I mean, that was
I mean, the Samba de Morocco's you can only use in that game, right?
I mean, there was a that was a very specifically built controller.
You know, yeah, the donkey didn't cost
as much as a steel battalion controller.
True. You know, was it Donkey Kongo?
With a Donkey Konga?
Yeah, Konga. Mm-hmm. You could only use it in that game. So, yeah.
Actually, no. Somebody modded that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And they were able to beat Dark Souls with...
What?
No, I think someone did that with the DDR pad.
Oh, no. They've done it with...
Various things.
Okay.
But,
yeah,
I mean...
did that with a DDR pad or, I guess, bongo drums or whatever.
I'm pretty sure if I could get my hands on that Steel Battalion controller, mm-hmm. I could use it on my PC. You know, get like a the Xbox adapter to USB, mm-hmm. and then I'm pretty sure like I could find drivers out there, and mm-hmm. I could use that controller for my PC.
Yeah,
you know, so for the console, yeah, it's very specific to that one game. The PC would just be another controller input. Mm-hmm. You know, just like I was using my for a long time, I was using my Ace Combat 6. Flight stick on my PC, yeah. even though it was designed for that one game, and it worked only on that one game for the Xbox.
I honestly don't think people will care. I mean, obviously, look, if you've been waiting 17 years, a delay from September to December is not really a bad thing. I think, obviously, the big takeaway from this is, oh, it's an Epic Game Store exclusive, which everybody hates for no... Look... If you got problems with aesthetic, I understand. But if you're out there shouting
pitchforks and torches.
Well, if you're out there shouting that it's spyware or that I don't know. Look, we've been down this road so many times. I mean, even when Steam was around in its infancy, we all hated that too. Yeah. We thought it was very strange that we were going to launch our game from something inside our PC that wasn't.
You didn't put the disc in the drive. And
yeah, that wasn't the icon on our desktop or wherever we may have kept it, that sort of thing.
But now it's so ubiquitous, I can't imagine. Like, my computer doesn't even have a bay to put in a drive, you know?
Yeah.
So,
but some fans are going to be disappointed in that, and particularly given that it was originally slated for Steam. Refunds for MechWarrior 5 pre-purchases at any tier. Hang on now. Refunds will be offered until September the 1st. Anyone who claims a refund will keep whatever bonus MechWarrior Online content and in-game currency that was included with their pre-purchase. They will not keep, obviously, access to the closed beta or the pre-purchase DLC items if they do a refund. Speaking of that beta, it is set to begin now on November 5th.
Okay.
I don't know when it was scheduled to begin. They probably hadn't picked a date, I guess, with a September release, but now November 5th is beta time for that. So I was just curious what your reaction was to that. I know that you and I both sit on the fence of, okay, it's on Epic, I'll play it there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Same way that I am.
I have
with
the launcher Order already, time. So you know it's not that hard for me to just go there to play the game because I'm not staring at the launcher when I'm playing the game, you know? So the same with, like I said before the break, with Youngblood. All right, it's weird that, all right, Bethesda has a launcher. I didn't know that, but whatever. Mm-hmm. If I play it, all right, that's just how I'm going to have to play it.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have minded either. I hate... The reason that I didn't like... I would hate the Bethesda launcher the same way I was going to hate the Epic game launcher is the fact that I have it for one game.
Yeah.
At the time, for Epic, I had it for one game.
But they've given so many free games.
Right, and now I have a lot more, obviously. Yeah. I understand
that. My library is actually pretty big on it.
But that's exactly how I would feel about Bethesda. It's like, I need to download this launcher because I need it for this one title.
But I don't think Bethesda is going to be giving out free copies of, you know, Doom 2016 or, you know, like all these back, you know, archived games.
I don't know. Free copies seem to be the thing lately.
I hope so. I mean, I'm
incentivize your players with free copies, not necessarily.
Granted, a lot of the times the free copies is something I already own
usually.
On another platform or another launcher
or something I really wasn't looking to pick up. But hey, it's free, so I'll grab it.
Yeah.
Turn down free. Not when it comes to my video games. What do we have? Tetris Effect is on PC, but on the Epic Game Store now. Also has VR capabilities. You going to be picking that up, Mr. VR Man, with his new VR PC? Tetris Effect?
Probably. When he got,
did you play Tetris Effect on...
I didn't.
Okay.
But I loved, I've loved Tetris ever since.
I would like you to do that with that VR setup.
Okay. And I'm assuming it's VR.
Yeah, yeah. It says... well, see, the story was the fact that Tetris Effect was going to come to the Epic Games Store. However, they didn't change all the wording in it, so it still said requires Steam VR in order to play.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because...
Those looking to play Tetris Effect in virtual reality may be surprised to learn that it relies on Valve's Steam VR API.
Yeah. Because even though, like, I have the Oculus and another store, the Oculus store, where my stuff is, like my Steam games still run through, and it kicks into Steam VR, then it goes to the Oculus. Yeah. And then, mm-hmm.
Tetris Effect supports the HTC Vive and Oculus Rift.
Good.
And the game's FAQ on the store confirms that Steam VR is required for the Vive headset. The page notes that those with Oculus Rift headsets can instead launch Oculus VR.
Okay, so you can just do it through that.
Yeah. However, Epic noted in a statement to some other place that both headsets require Steam VR to run in the background.
That's fine.
This won't require players to actually log in through Steam to play their Epic Store purchase, which is interesting.
I need to...
The update on this was, as we pointed out in the original story of the games, despite Epic's statement to the contrary earlier, Tetris Effect developer Enhance issued a tweet to clarify that Steam VR won't be used when you plug in an Oculus VR headset. By the same token, headsets that rely on OpenVR, which Steam VR is based on, will too require Steam VR to launch. None of these options require you to log in through Steam itself to play. So just keep that in mind.
Did they say how much the price is?
On the game?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because, I mean, I'll probably wait for a sale if it's like $40.
I don't think it's 40. I think it's like $30, but I don't know. I don't have... it's available for 20% off until August 6th. After that, it will run you $40.
Oh. Mm.
So
$36?
It's at a... It's 20% off of $40. So...
All right. I do love Tetris.
You don't have to.
No, but...
I mean, I'm not telling you got to do anything.
Yeah, no, I know, but I love Tetris. And yeah, I mean, money I would spend on MechWarrior 5 is now allocated later in the year.
Yeah. That's true.
Is $40 your price point?
For a Tetris game?
For a Tetris game?
I wouldn't say that's my price point. I'd say that's a little above my price point for a Tetris game.
I mean, because I picked it up on a PS4, but when it came out, it was $40. But I saw a sale where it dropped to 20, and that was my price point. I picked it up for that price. But on PC, it's
a little different.
Still 40 right now. Yeah.
I remember the Tetris Effect that I picked up. It was one of those deals that Wario sent out on the Twitter, which was like $20 on Amazon. So yeah.
Yeah, I missed it that time. But yeah,
that's how I grabbed it.
Yeah.
So 40? No.
Yeah.
The problem is you don't get discounts like that as you do physical copies for consoles and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
keep that in mind. PC memory is going to be dropping soon. Well, if things stay the way they are, PC memory will be dropping.
RAM or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not talking hard disks, not hard drives. Yeah. But the memory will be dropping soon. Mm-hmm. All right, fixing the Joy-Cons. Mm-hmm. What else did we have here? When is Evo? Next weekend?
Evo's already gone.
What? No.
When did that happen?
No.
I think.
No. Dude, come on. No.
No? Oh, sorry. August 2nd through 4th.
Next weekend.
Yeah, next weekend.
Okay, it's next weekend.
Why am I seeing Evo videos? That was last year, okay.
I was going to say, man, there's no way it's already gone.
Okay.
There's no way that's passed, and I've completely missed it. Mm. I love weekend, watching then. Evo.
Nope, next weekend then.
And I hate the fact that I can't watch the end because they get so delayed getting to the final games.
Yeah.
On Sunday night. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't happen until like 10 or 11 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
Or later. That really annoys me. I wish they would fix that. But whatever, they're taking place in Vegas. And, you know, their time is different than my time.
Yeah. You're in bed by what, 7?
Make it sound like I'm 90. Old.
Yeah. Well, no, you have to be up here, what, 4?
No. I get up at 4:30.
Yeah, you get up at 4. That, yeah. So it's
I get up at 4:30. I get here between 5:30 and 6.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I get up at 4:30, too.
Yeah. So, but I don't stay up that, I'm in bed by like 9. Yeah. 10 if I'm feeling dangerous. 10 if I'm living on the edge.
Yep.
Oh, me. 10 o'clock bedtime. Oh, what are we talking about here? Mm-hmm. That's some crazy talk.
Yeah.
DCS World released a new trailer for the F-16 module.
Hmm. I saw Kevin post that, and I watched it. And for a while there, he was like, is this what we were talking about? We were talking about how great games should look, or these flight sims were going to look back in the day. And I was watching the opening of it, and I said, probably not. And then I saw the other footage, and I was like, oh, probably so, because that looked really, really nice.
Yeah. I'm thinking about it. I know.
When is that release?
Soon. I think September, maybe.
It's got VR support?
Yeah, oh yeah, DCS World. Yeah, it does.
Wow.
Because I already have the A-10 module for it.
Have you played a flight sim yet in VR other than...
Elite? No.
Oh, you've played Elite in VR now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
With the Oculus?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that great?
Oh, it's...
Isn't that fantastic?
Fantastic way to do it.
Because I played it in VR
Dog
as well.
Fighting and just everything. And just, or even just like mining.
Do you have a HOTAS or just a...
Yeah,
just
a, I have a HOTAS.
Man.
Yeah, it's great. It in a way, it also tricks my mind so much when I look down. Like, because like if I let go of the stick for something, you know, like stretch or whatever, and I look down and I'm like, oh, and I'm going to grab into where it's positioned in the game.
Yeah, but it's not there.
Yeah, so I'm like, fumble. Oh, there it is. But, when I'm, like, just mining around an asteroid field and everything like that, being able to look around and see the environment.
Played that at a PAX South years and years ago.
I forget.
Full-on HOTAS, VR, Elite Dangerous, and I was in heaven.
I mean, the way, just the field depth of view that you have. Kevin and I multi-crewed his Mamba, which is his fighter, and actually, like, got up and walked around my room a little bit, and I'm, like, walking around the cabin of this ship.
Yeah.
And everything. So I'm like peeking behind and I'm like just walking around.
That's
and
so
I'm like,
cool.
Yeah, okay. That's me
wait
doing
wait till you get full room VR set up, man. Yeah. Just wait till you get that set up.
But with the DCS World, I had the A10 and, you know, Kevin and I were talking about it. And he's like, you know, that's a commitment because it's like a straight up study simulator. So I really want it, the time right now to dedicate into being even a modicum of competent flying an F-16 in an arcade in a computer sim, I've got a lot of stuff going on, you know, so it's definitely like it's in my radar and it's in my wheelhouse. Just like, those things are like you sit down in the cockpit and, you know, you have to like move around and like flip switches to turn on the EPU and the, you know, the emergency power unit. And then let me actually start up the engine and let me, you know, like you're actually doing it in the actual F-16.
Yeah.
So it's not like just an arcade game. You sit in and you like move the throttle forward and you start taking off.
Yeah.
You actually have to go through the warm up cycle, go through the, you know, and everything for, you know, flying this aircraft. And it's really cool, but whew.
There's a lot you got to do in there.
Oh yeah. A whole bunch. And it makes me kind of wish that, you know, if I had a career field that where people like some of the, you know, people that work on the jets, you know, like in different shops like avionics or crew chiefs and stuff like that, they actually have to do some of the testing on the jets and the different mechanics. So they have to know how to turn on, you know, the different things. You know, I never did that. So
yeah. I mean,
I guess for them it'd be so much easier. They'd be like flip, click, 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 and get things going. And
I mean, it's like that time when I was playing Il Sturmovik.
Yeah.
It's like before I played that game, the only flight experience I ever had was Afterburner.
Afterburner, yeah.
Afterburner.
And that you already start in the air.
Yeah. I don't know that Afterburner is a sim of any kind.
No. I said before anything like that, the only flying I did was Afterburner, but I still play every now and then, actually. Afterburner climax. Then I played
Hell of a transition to go from Afterburner to Il Sturmovik.
Yeah, Il Sturmovik was like... make sure your throttle's up. Make sure this is right. Make sure that's right.
And yeah, like, I get like, what's a trim? What's
And I'm like, and I get like halfway up, and the thing's like stalling. And I don't know,
like,
what's going on. I'm
doing
something wrong. What am I doing wrong? And
yeah.
crash and burn, of course, immediately. So I had to like Okay, there's more than just pull back to go up.
Yeah,
push
yeah.
forward to dive. There's a lot more I got to learn.
Regardless of the difficulty of Sturmovik, nothing compares to the difficulty, and I mentioned this in the chat room, of NES Top Gun.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man. That
Konami. Either landing on the carrier the or doing mid-air refueling.
Yeah.
Face planting on the carrier.
In fact, as far as I know, there were only 1.5 levels of that game because I never made it past Mission 2. Mission 2 was where you had to refuel.
Okay.
And I would always die.
Yeah.
Because I could not refuel. And the odd thing about this is.
So wait, was the game messed up or was it just difficult? Just flat out difficult?
It was difficult.
Just way difficult.
Okay.
I'm sure there's a way I'm sure somebody's able to do it.
I don't think so.
I could not make it happen. Ever.
It's probably on YouTube.
Ever.
I doubt it.
It's probably on YouTube.
No.
Actually.
No, I don't think it happened.
Unless somebody's using a Game Genie.
Yeah. It's all cheats.
That was the other thing. There was no code to bypass any of that.
No. You just had to... Like, if your parents bought you that game and you're super excited because you love Top Gun and you play it, then you're like, that was a waste of money.
Yeah.
Because that one level was all I got to play.
Every now and again, I was able to land it on the aircraft carrier a few times.
I think AC Wraith just lied to us.
I managed a few, but I still dreaded trying. No, man, I never got past it. And the other thing about that is that the ship would come in to refuel you. And you had, I guess, a certain amount of time to refuel. And if you didn't refuel, the ship
Right. Bye.
Like, later.
Like, we come back.
In what world, unless it's being attacked, I suppose, but does your refueling carrier, whatever it is, abandon you? Like, we haven't refueled. Why are you leaving?
Yeah. we're just tired of hanging around.
Because I got somewhere else to be. That's why.
Why are you leaving me? And to just leave you without even refueling.
How much time did you have? Like, what, 30 seconds?
You didn't have very long.
Maybe like a minute or so.
Yeah. And I just never got it. I never was able to get it. So that game, and I still have that game.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I think I probably have it on my Raspberry Pi.
Oh, I've got it on I've obviously got it on that, too. Maybe I'll go back to it.
Time to boot
it
up.
Yeah. It's on my NES
Mini. Now that
Mini.
You're older, you have a different set of skill sets. Maybe accomplish this.
No. Because I got older doesn't mean the game got easier.
Yeah, I say that, then I think back to
you might have more patience.
Yeah, I think back to Ninja Gate N, and I'm like, no, I'd still tank it on that.
That's not how that works at all.
What? Well, watch, he boots it up, and the first time he gets there, he gets it.
Well, first I got to land on the carrier.
You'll get that, too.
I won't. No, face plant, like you said.
Yeah, then I will have to refuel in midair. I got to get past just playing the thing first. It wasn't the best.
No.
It wasn't the best-looking game to play, either. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, we've got to take a break. When we come back, we'll have more of In-Game Chat. We are featuring the music of Koji Kondo, and so far we played Punch-Out, which was his first composition. Then we went to golf and volleyball and what was it, soccer?
Yeah, so enough of the sports.
Yeah, we're done with sports. We're going to not Legend of Zelda, but Link to the Past. This track is called The Dark World, and we will be back with more of In-Game Chat after this. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. Some of the more, I don't know.
Non-mainstream?
No, it's just we're catching up now. Not really.
Current? Recent?
That's Yoshi's Island.
Okay.
Which I think was marketed as Super Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, yes. I believe. So, Koji Kondo is our composer for today, and we've been featuring tracks from stuff that he's worked on. These are all compositions that he has done. Now, he has got a long credit list of music that he has done arrangements for, or that he has helped produce, or that he has had some other hand in. Mm-hmm. But what anything you've heard today is stuff that he has composed himself. He's done it all himself. So, we'll have a Mario theme coming up in just in our next one. As we close out the show, we'll have the Mario theme. And it's not...
you gotta close with something Mario.
Well, it's not... Well, honestly, I didn't plan it. That's just how it came out. But yeah, that's from Super Mario 64.
Okay.
So, because, and I'll tell you why, it's because everything else that followed that, while he did work on it, he worked on Mario Galaxy, he worked on the Smash Brothers, he worked on Mario Odyssey, but he didn't actually he didn't compose any music for those.
Yeah.
He was in some sort of supportive,
consultant
role, either consultant, either producer, either, you know, just someone else that was involved, but he didn't write the music. So that's what I was going for with all of these, are tracks that he wrote himself. So, what are we, what are we looking at here? Oh, Shenmue 3, we got the PC specs, what it will take to run on your PC.
Mm-hmm.
The recommended version, Windows 10, 64, obviously. A Core i7-770
okay.
is a recommended processor. 16 gigs of RAM. A GTX 1070 is recommended. 100 gigs of available space. That's big.
That is big.
It's a big game. Big
now,
world.
The minimum requirements...
That's suggested.
Yeah, is i5-4460 or better,
okay.
4 gigs of RAM, a GTX 650 Ti or better.
Okay.
That's going back a ways.
That is.
Still need 100 gigs available, though. That doesn't change.
Yeah.
And you also need Epic Game Store in order to activate. So, and that's for Shenmue 3. But you're playing it on the console, aren't you, RJ?
Yeah, I'm playing on the console.
What about you? Matt,
PC.
You're doing PC. You're doing Epic Games. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Good thing you upgraded.
Yeah.
So you could play Shenmue 3.
Mew harder?
Mm.
How big was Red Dead 2? How many gigs was that?
80?
Like 80?
80?
Yeah. It's close to 100.
Yeah. But, yeah, but I mean,
probably with an update in there, it probably pushed 90 to close to that.
Yeah.
But like I said, Shenmue's always been a big world to... roll around in. So
it has. It just doesn't look like a 100 gig game. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And especially the stuff they've shown off from this, it doesn't look like a game that needs 100 gigs. However, I know what they're doing. I say I know what they're doing, but I assume what they're doing is keeping the aesthetic. They don't want to pull a Lucas where...
everything's like super modern, hyper-stylized.
Yeah, but yet takes place... in the past, as far as the story is concerned.
Yeah.
Not necessarily, that's not what Shenmue is doing at all. That's a bad analogy that I just made. But yeah, there are two games already that have a certain look, a certain style. And rather than making this third one and pushing any sort of advanced technology with it or whatever, they seem to be keeping the aesthetic, at least.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
and Shenmue, especially like
from what little I've seen of it,
even on the Dreamcast when it came out and everything, it's always been about as much immersion in a way into that world mm-hmm. where you know people have their jobs and their you know their things that they do.
Yeah.
It's like that whole universe lives outside of your character
yeah.
and you inhabit it and you could interact with it, but they do their own thing.
Yeah, I recall dudes, this guy. Every day at this time, because you know, look at your clock, and he's walking to this location every day. And then he comes back home at this certain time every day. Sometimes he break the trend, like go to the bar or something, then come home. Yeah,
or like
have their things
stores
to do there.
Would have hours that
yeah,
they
stores
would.
Stores had hours.
You know, so they've always been about that world immersion that you're, you know, it's not just like a, you know, video game, but you're actually in a universe, so to speak. So maybe that's why they need that much space. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I doubt they're like rendering the entire island of Japan.
I was just reading here that the Bethesda login for Doom and all the classic Doom games, they're going to patch that out.
Oh.
A day after the first three Doom games surprise launched on consoles and mobile devices, which I did not know, Bethesda says it'll remove the login requirement that delivered so many hilarious Day Zero memes. Bethesda passed word of the login walk back this morning. It was in the game in the first place because Slayers Club members would get a reward for playing the classic Dooms, and the login is the means of tracking that.
Yeah.
The Bethesda.net login requirement was included for Slayers Club to reward members for playing the classic Doom games. The login should be optional, and we are working on changing the requirement to optional now. Apparently, you needed it to play the game. And that is why everybody started making memes of, like, Mario saving the princess and like, oh, thanks for whatever. Thanks for saving me, Mario, but the rest of the game requires a Bethesda.net account. That they were doing, so yeah.
Interesting.
But yeah, that was just, I don't know how long ago that was, but it was today. Oh, was it 4:30 when that came around? What? Are you checking that out?
Well, just looking at Doom. Well, yep, there's Doom, original game. No, that's the soundtrack. I want the app. Yep, Doom, Bethesda. $5 on Google Store.
Darksiders got an insanely expensive limited edition. Warrior tweeted it out, and I was like, what is this for? Darksiders Genesis, which I don't know what that is. Hmm. I didn't know. What is Darksiders Genesis? Let's see. Much like Darksiders 3 had a stupidly expensive collector's edition, Darksiders Genesis is set to receive the same thing. Limited to 5,000 units. The $380 edition of Genesis contains a bunch of goods and a separate game for those really into the Darksiders series.
Sorry, it sounded like you said 300.
Those that opt to drop near 380. Ugh. Those that opt to drop near $400 will receive the game. They will also receive Darksiders the Forbidden Land board game, a figurine of Strife, steelbook packaging for the game, which now justifies the price for me. No, it doesn't. I'm only kidding. Mm. An art book, the soundtrack, a sticker sheet. Was there cereal we're getting with this too? A large box to house everything in. It'll be available for every platform, and you can pre-order it right now.
Goodness. Let's see details on the board game I saw here. 61 miniatures, 124 tokens, 36 multi-hex modular boards, 423 cards, 4 player boards, and custom dice.
Wow.
That sounds like that's most of the price of the thing.
Yeah,
right there.
It probably is.
The game is $60.
Yeah.
The board game is
the rest.
$150. The figurine is probably another $50. So you're looking at $260 right there. Then, I don't know, throw in some more stuff that they're throwing in. I'm not sure.
Yeah, they said that's the Nephilim edition. Or you can go with the collector's edition for $120.
Yeah, right?
Which includes everything except the board game.
Right, the board game is the expensive part of that whole collection.
But, you know, yeah, I'd want the
board game. I didn't know the board game had all that stuff in it. Although, I'll say this.
Wait a minute, so that statue comes in there with it?
Yeah.
And that's $120. And this thing is $380.
Listen to all the stuff you rattled off that come in the board game.
Yeah.
That's
a packed
cheap
board game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not saying the price is still justified, but that's a pretty hefty board game with all that stuff.
Yeah.
I wonder what the board...
That's too much board game.
Is the board game going to be sold separately? Do we know?
Mm. I mean, but...
Let me look it up. Darksiders.
So the only thing missing is the board game, and that's that's worth the difference of $260.
Maybe.
Really?
I mean, sure, if some, it's only...
Someone's going to buy it. Yeah, someone's going to buy it. Don't get me wrong. Someone's going to buy it, but my goodness.
And I don't put it on anybody who does. You want to buy it, you're more than welcome to it.
It's your cash. Have at it.
Exactly. I still got to pick up Shadowkeep, the Destiny expansion. I still haven't bought that yet.
I know they're doing an alien RPG game, like tabletop RPG.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wow, the figures for this thing look really good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at artwork on these. They look really, really good.
So, I mean, like, you're getting nice figures. You're getting a lot.
Let me ask you something.
Look at that board game. Can I explain this?
I was about to, I'm asking y'all about board games. When's the last time y'all bought or got into the board gaming?
It's been forever, man.
How about you,
like,
Matt?
Played something?
I mean, because the last thing I did was, like, Monopoly years ago. And
not that long ago, I played with some friends.
I mean,
but I have friends that, like, you know, they're,
see?
I get it.
I mean, look at that.
I get it now.
Look at that.
Yeah.
That's a good...
I get it.
That's a good look, man.
That's very nice.
I mean, have board games gotten that intricate, that expensive nowadays?
Some have, yeah.
Some, yeah.
And you can think of off the top of your head?
No.
Someone in the chat room? Somebody can tell me.
People in the chat room will be able to tell you easily.
A high price, a really good board game that's significantly priced, a really high price.
I mean, if you go to Amazon...
Dark Souls.
Yeah, Darksiders.
Darksiders.
If you go to Amazon and look through their board game stuff, mm-hmm. you'll find all kinds
of crazy stuff.
You will.
Let's see.
I mean, we're not talking like Monopoly and Chutes and Ladders here.
Like I said, that's the last board game I went into.
Candyland.
Yeah.
No, but this is more this is more tabletop, you know, stuff.
Yeah.
If you look at like the tabletop game stuff, like Warhammer 40K or, you know, things like that, that could get super pricey.
Okay. No, not Connect Four.
There was a giant Connect Four game. Dave and Buster's that I played at.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, man. It's huge. It's a wall.
Is that like the giant Jengas?
No. It was a wall. It was digital.
Oh,
you know, it's just a screen, but it's a wall. It's the size of that. The size of that wall over there. And
giant Jenga sounds like it would hurt somebody.
Basically, it's two players, and, you know, you have arrow. You have a certain amount of time. You have arrow keys that will...
Highlight the column.
Set where you want to drop yours, and then you drop, and then the next person has to go, and that sort of thing. And you know, it's Connect Four, but it's just on a gigantic screen.
Hmm.
So,
oh goodness, wait a minute.
See, are you looking up board games now?
Yeah, I'm looking up now.
There's stuff there.
Oh, that's collectible. Okay.
I mean, board games are... first off, I don't know when the last...
Winning Solutions Monopoly Luxury Edition, $220. Okay. Okay, there's a Dark Souls board game, $150.
Is that the Forbidden Land? Or that's Dark Souls?
Dark Souls is a board game. I see it on here for $150.
Yeah, okay. Dark Souls has a board game.
Clue Luxury Edition, $220. Okay, Luxury Edition.
Don't worry about those. I'm just talking about something like Dark Souls.
Yeah, more of a tabletop game.
Something like... The Arkham Horror series.
Yeah.
Haunted Hill.
No, that's a movie,
that's
right?
That's the movie, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's called something, or is that Haunting of Hill House? Maybe that's what I'm thinking
of.
I
know what game you're talking about.
Yes.
You know, the Lovecraftian Arkham series.
It is, and I played it one time, and I thoroughly enjoyed it.
A lot of fun, yeah.
But I haven't been able to play it again because...
You don't have friends.
I need there's that. a lot of people and a lot of time to explain and a lot of time to play. Although playing it is fun.
Yes. HeroScape, Swarm of the Marrow, 210, Cthulhu Wars,
Cthulhu.
Peterson Games. That's 220.
What's that other one? Okay. Pandemic?
Yeah.
That's another board game.
Yeah, that's a tabletop game.
Yeah. There's a great place in Seattle called... Mox Cafe. Cafe Mox.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is what it is in Seattle. And it's not very... It's actually kind of like borderline out of Seattle. It's not in Seattle proper. Mm-hmm. But it is... It's basically just it's a cafe bar with board games.
Mm-hmm.
So on one side is where you order your drinks and your food if you want to sit at the bar and do that.
Right.
But they also have these tables set up all over the place. And then the other side of the place is a store. It's almost a separate store, but they link.
Mm-hmm.
And it is nothing but board games, puzzle games, you know, Rubik's Cubes, all sorts of stuff. And some of them are open. You can go up to the front and say, here's my driver's license or whatever it is, and I would like to pull that off the shelf. Me and my friends are going to go play it while we eat our food and drink our drinks and everything else. And then even further into that, they have a large tabletop section where you can do your miniatures and also where you can paint your miniatures. And so, yeah, it's really, really cool to be able to sit there and do that and, you know, drink and eat at the same time.
Yeah.
While you just play a game. And that's where I played Pandemic, and there's a couple of others that we picked out and played together that I had never played before.
Mm-hmm.
And so they taught me how to play those.
Hmm.
But I remember one time sitting in a bar in Seattle, and we played the Arkham Horror game.
Yeah.
And I didn't know a thing about it until he taught me the thing. And but
once you learn it,
really
you're like,
fun.
This is, yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Oh, man, it was so much fun. So,
yeah,
like my board games when I get a chance to play them. Luckily at PAX, I get a lot of chances to play them.
But you have more of a congregation of people.
No, the environment's suited for it. Yes, I understand. I get that. I hate that I only get one chance out of the year to play the board games.
Unless you invite people over to your house.
Right, or unless I own those games, but I don't.
Yeah.
Mainly because I don't invite people over to my house.
Yeah.
To come play those games.
Well, I guess it
fits. And you haven't been to my house in a while. I don't know where we would play those anyway.
Well, I guess it fits then. $260, I guess.
No. Looking at that board game now, that's a lot.
Yeah. It is a lot, but
that is the majority of the price of that collector's edition.
Yeah.
Which is good that they offer you
option without it?
An edition without it, yes.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What else is going on? I'm so glad this computer's working again.
For now.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's going to be fine. It was just, you know, it was hard. I don't have any other time to do that.
Yeah.
Unless I take it home and do it there, which I could have.
But I really thought
having enough time before the show would be able to do that. Mm-hmm. I can't. There's no way I could have done that during the week.
Yeah.
In fact, it's already telling you now. It's like, hey, there's an update ready. Now that I've updated the OS, there's updates on top of that that need to go in. And I'm just like, yeah, I'll get around to it.
Yeah. Unless you do it, like set it up and then have it run over the, you know, the week.
Yeah, but it probably needs you to do some logins and stuff like that once you do it. So, I mean, I'm not going to do it. And I don't like to leave my computer out and about here anyway.
Gotcha.
When I'm not here. So I'm not going to do any of that.
Were you ever interested in Just Cause 4?
I was. And I still kind of am, but I haven't seen it.
I think it's been on sale a little bit, like down to 20, I think.
It has, but it hasn't, yeah.
I'm just trying to figure out.
It'll get lower.
What's that magic number for me?
20 is not it.
Yeah. 15, maybe?
I don't know.
11?
Here's, obviously, what I'm running into now is the fact that I don't play anything other than Destiny.
Yeah.
So the justification to even buy these games at a discount is even still not there. Because I'm playing it. I'm sticking it. Right now, I have plenty to do in Destiny, and I'm going to have that all the way up until likely the release of the new content. And then I'll also have that to kind of keep my time. Now, in between the time the new content releases and then, like, a seasonal update comes out, I will likely be in the position of, hey, I've done everything there. I'm going to do some other stuff.
So, no, like, on the Humble, like, Humble had a sale on Psychonauts 2, right? The Rhombus of Terror, I think it is.
Psychonauts 2 got delayed, though, didn't it?
Oh, well whatever. That little off whatever. The newer Psychonauts.
There's only one that's out. There's only one Psychonauts that's out.
Then maybe it's a little side DLC. I don't know, but like they have what was it? Rhombus of Terror, I think is
you're
the name.
You're making me think I'm crazy again.
Well, I mean, that's not that hard. Yeah, okay, it's a VR game. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it was like $2, and I'm like, okay, $2. I could throw down on some Psychonauts VR for $2. I picked it up. I haven't played it yet. You know, but they also had a sale on that, and I also picked up
Arizona. You're going to go nuts with the VR stuff, aren't you?
Well, maybe a little bit. Rhombus of Ruin. Okay, thank you.
I did the same thing. I went nuts with VR stuff, but I only picked up free things.
But, like, you know, some of the stuff that I did pick up, like, on sale, like Super Hot was on sale, and I enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Vader Immortal is, you know, that went on sale, but they had my money from the get-go, and once Episode 2 comes out, they'll have my money for that. I picked up Arizona Sunshine, and that was on sale. But that looks interesting. I haven't had a chance to play that yet. But it's a zombie, you know, pew-pew with the guns.
Oh, I was thinking of something else. That was a...
Pew-pew.
I was thinking of Sunset Overdrive. That's what I was looking at.
No. Arizona Sunshine.
Arizona Sunshine. Okay.
So, you know, like stuff like that I'll do if it's a good price. You know, I don't know. Like, you know, I was going... I would look at VFR edition of Doom or... the Skyrim VR, and I'm like, that's too high.
Yeah.
You know, something like that, no. But if it's like usually around 15 or under, 10 under, then yeah, all right, let me look into this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, it's not that bad.
Well, I think we are...
buy an Xbox.
By an Xbox. Just Cause 4 is part of a game. It is. Just Cause 4 is in the Game Pass. So, I mean, I get
Does that work on the PC?
I don't know. You'd have to check. I doubt it.
Yeah, I know.
I doubt it carries over to the PC side of things. I like playing it on PC because of the mods.
Yeah.
This is why I really haven't looked to play it on Xbox.
I think, yeah, with my Just Cause, I had like the super long, you know, Just Cause 3, I had the extended grapple.
The grapple, yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, Just Cause is all about the mods at this point.
Yeah.
It? Yeah, so. Yeah.
Although a lot of the times they put the mods into the game.
True. Mm-hmm. I mean, heck, you remember Just Cause 2, the Superman mod?
Oh, yeah.
That made it just a whole better game.
Well, basically, they need to do what they did, and we got to wrap up. They just need to do what they did with Crackdown. They were once Crackdown was out for a while, they said, "Okay, here's the half fun pack or whatever it was," mm-hmm. and it lets you
just do what you want.
Yeah, it lets you create, you know, not create anything, but spawn cars, explosive spawn weapons, barrels. Do all this stuff, and just have fun with it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Key to the City is what it was called.
Yep, mm-hmm. That was a good one.
Yeah, I made the trash can, by the way. If you
woohoo,
good job.
Anyway, that is going to do it for us. Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it every single week. We do this with the exception of the weeks that we don't. We really appreciate you tuning in. Go to ingamechat.net. Join us on Twitter, Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Also, we've got a Discord server up and going, and we're going to have a new one as well that will be more for just basically our Destiny clan. I leave you now with more of Koji Kondo. This is Super Mario Brothers 64. Have a great week, everybody. We'll see you next Saturday.